Friends, it was 2005, and our church, with hundreds of others across this nation, read a book by the American pastor, Rick Warren, called The Purpose-Driven Life. And it started with this expression, "It's not about you." Millions of people in the United States read that book. It made the US bestseller list. Churches undertook a small group series on the book. 700 copies of that book were sold in this church alone. Our home group attendance jumped from 300 to 500 just in that couple of months when we moved to that and have maintained that. Our Sunday attendances peaked at 800 people during that time, which is unusual because when you are studying the Bible and a book that it's not about you, you would think no one was interested. Because our society and our self-help book tell us to look after yourself. You are number one. Care for yourself, love yourself, grow yourself, build for yourself. The most important person in the world is you. But Rick Warren started, it's not about you. Rather, you are created for God's pleasure. You are created to worship God. You are created for a purpose, a purpose-driven life. You are created to live life with eternity in view. And those purposes are articulated in the scriptures. And so on this 60th anniversary, we remember that, friends, it's not about you. I'm sorry to tell you that. It's not about me. It's not about your glory. It's not about my glory. It's not about the fame and reputation of Nowhee Baptist Church, as well as God has worked through this church. It is about God and His glory. And friends, that truth has driven the ministries in this church for 60 years and will drive them into the future. Now, Max Lucado, in his book, It's Not About Me, he picked up that theme as well. He says, until Copernicus came along in 1543, we earthlings enjoyed center stage. We thought the universe revolved around us. But then came Nicholas Copernicus, he says, with his maps, his drawings, and his bony nose, and his Polish accent, and his pestering questions, pointing a lone finger toward the sun, he announced, behold, the center of the solar system. And people denied the facts for over half a century. When like-minded Galileo came along, the throne locked him up. The church kicked him out. People didn't like demotions back then, he says. We still don't. What Copernicus did for the earth, Lucado says, God does for our souls. Tapping the collective shoulder of humanity, he points to the Son, his Son, the one who lived and died and rose again, that Son, and he says, behold the center of it all. It's about Jesus. He is the center, not you and not me. He writes, when God looks at the center of the universe, he doesn't look at you. When heaven's stagehands direct the spotlight towards the star of the show, I need no sunglasses, he writes. No light falls on me. We are appreciated. We are loved, deeply loved. We are valued. But central and essential and pivotal? Nope, sorry, he writes. The world does not revolve around us, although we think it does. God does not exist to make a big deal out of us. We exist to make a big deal out of him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about him. Our role is to be sun reflectors. Reflecting his beauty in our lives. So the word of God says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Who is central? God is. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise or glorify your Father in heaven. We live, we serve, we build. Why? So people would see the great glory that belongs to God and they praise him. Ephesians 1, he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through the Lord Jesus Christ. In accordance with his pleasure and will, he takes the initiative to the praise of his glorious grace. And therefore, we see his grace and say, God, you're glorious. You deserve worship and honor and adoration and following God. What a wonderful God you are. That's the point of his salvific work in us. But friends, it's not only that God deserves the glory. He also calls us to enjoy him and to find our satisfaction and fulfillment in him. And when you find that, it overflows into loving service and ministry. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, you will have his desires in your heart. His plans, His purposes will be in your heart, and God will give them to you because they're not yours. They come from Him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. There's a sense in which the Word of God says you need to find your joy, fulfillment, and happiness in God. And when you find that and you live in light of that, glory goes to God. John Piper's famous words that we have used many times over the last decade, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. Friends, when you know Jesus, when you're forgiven by Him, when you see how valuable He is, and He is your everything, it overflows into loving worship. It overflows into committed ministry. So five things I want to leave you with this morning. Live for His glory, but how do you do that? Number one, surrender completely. Surrender completely to Him. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In view of His mercy, in view of His death on the cross, His resurrection, in view of that, give yourselves completely to Him. Surrender to Him. Let Him have His way in your life. Abraham Kuyper wrote, "There is not an inch of any sphere of life over which Jesus Christ will not say mine." Friends, if we are going to be an effective church for God into the future, and we need to say to Jesus, whatever you want, I'll just do it. Whatever you want, I surrender to you. And Rick Warren writes, there is a moment of surrender when you give your life to Christ, but there is the practice of surrender, moment by moment and lifelong. So the problem with a living sacrifice is that it can always crawl off the altar. So you have to remember to surrender your life 50 times a day. And I find that in the morning I have to surrender to God. In the afternoon when an evil thought comes, I have to surrender to God. When a lustful thought comes, I have to surrender to God. God, no, I don't want to go in that direction. God, there's an opportunity to witness to someone. I'm going to surrender to you, God, and speak words of life to people. Surrender. And surrendering your life, Rick Warren writes also, is not a foolish emotional impulse, but a rational, intelligent act, the most responsible and sensible thing you can do with your life. Give it over completely. Secondly, proclaim unashamedly. We have good news to share. The media will say, don't talk about Jesus. Your friends will say, I don't want to know about Jesus. You'll be made to sound like an idiot at times for claiming to believe in a dead and resurrected Savior. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. I'm not ashamed, Paul says. So I say, proclaim the gospel to yourself every day. Remind yourself that you are loved by the God of the universe and your sins are forgiven. Proclaim the gospel to each other in your Bible study groups, one-on-one as you have coffee together, as we come together. Proclaim the gospel to each other. And thirdly, proclaim the gospel locally and globally. Friends, that's what we do through all of our ministries here. We take the gospel to schools and universities, and we take it to our seniors, we take it to men and women, and there's an upcoming men's breakfast. Book in for that after this service today, where you can find out how Jesus brings wisdom for love, sex, and relationships for men. And if you're here with your wife today, guys, and you think, I'm not sure whether I should come, wives, tell your husbands to turn up. They'll be better husbands. All right, just nudge them right now and say, you know, you need to go to that breakfast. April the 5th, you'll be better husbands, better boyfriends, whatever it happens to be, better engaged person. We support 9 families globally as part of this church. We're committed to taking the gospel to the nations. We have many people working in Christian ministries in this place. We started the Mandarin service in February 2014 because we are taking the gospel unashamedly to our community. Don't hold back. Thirdly, love sacrificially. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Not sure the measure of love? There it is. Sacrificial, dying for each other. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on him or her, how can the love of God be in them? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. That's why we give out close to 500 food hampers every year through this church and ministry. That's why we visit the sick. That's why we pray and support one another, essentially through our home group ministry. Then when someone is suffering, we come alongside them. That's why we'll run what's called the CAP money course in the next 6 months, because we want to help people manage their funds better so they have some money left over to feed their families and to save. That's why we run English classes to serve our local community, to say to our Chinese friends, we will teach you to speak English to fit in better into our community. That's why there's a Macedonian ministry on a Wednesday night here. That's why there are people in this church who visit asylum seekers in Villawood to bring the love of Christ to them and to demonstrate the love. That's why we have the Soul Singles Ministry, to provide a place for singles who may be alone on a Saturday night wondering what they're going to do, but there's a place where they can meet friends and love others. That's why we are running our Homework Plus Club. And the first child who was at our Homework Plus Club this week was a young Muslim child with a mother and a hijab coming, bringing their child to our Homework Plus Club. Why? Because we are showing love to our community by helping their kids get an education and also introducing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why recently we sponsored something like 75 children in the Darjeeling region of Nepal. That's over $40,000 a year when you think of the sponsorship money that is going out to that region that I visited last year off Nepal to help alleviate poverty. Why? Because Jesus says, you've got to love, right? Not enough just to proclaim the gospel. You've got to love the way I have loved and give your lives for others. That's why $7,000 came in at the Christmas appeal. That's why over 500 gift boxes go to Operation Christmas Child to be given to a child at Christmas who wouldn't normally get a gift, and you give to that. That's why we do what we do. Amen? It is because God has called us not simply to speak the words, but to demonstrate that in practical ways. That's why our Creative Craft Group raises thousands of dollars each year for various charities. That's why we raise money to buy Bibles for the persecuted church in our October period, and I can go on. But you see, locally and globally, God has called us to show love. Fourthly, live dangerously. Wow, that's a bit scary. Live dangerously for God. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow. Jesus picks up his cross, is on the way to his death. He says, you want to follow me? Do you want to be authentic followers of Jesus Christ? He says, Nahui Baptist Church, are you in this? Are you with me? He says, pick up that cross. It's going to be costly following me. Not everyone would like you. Sometimes your family will oppose you. I grew up with that. Many of you are living that today. Your families oppose the message you believe in. Pick up your cross and follow me, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who died at the age of 39 under the Nazis in 1945, who said this. He said, the cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. The Lord Jesus said in John 15, verse 20, remember the words I spoke to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. I think God wants us to take some risks, doesn't he? You might think it's a bit risky building that building, $1.45 million. We call it faith in Jesus, stepping out. It may have been risky to start a Chinese service and add another $35,000, $40,000 to our budget. But to see 40 people gathering in worship here, and this afternoon I'll be speaking this message at 2 o'clock this afternoon and at 6 o'clock tonight, but I'll be there with that Chinese group. They call it risky. We had a team in Bali a number of years ago. I was on that team. I just arrived home and the bombs went off. Our workers stayed. Our locals came home, but our long-term workers stayed in that country. When Malala was in Lebanon and there was a big war and Israel was bombing southern Lebanon and so on, and there were problems internally, and almost all the Australian Arabic community returned to Australia on Qantas aeroplanes, Malala stayed. He stayed with his family in that place. Why? Because when you follow Jesus, you put him first, and sometimes you have to live dangerously. Not stupidly. You don't go and stand in front of someone with a gun to shoot you. We're not talking about idiocy. We're talking about surrendering to God, being willing to live dangerously at times and take some risks and see what God will do. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked and arrested and beaten, and he continued to finish the task. Finally, pray passionately. Friends, we can't do any of this outside of the strength of God, the power of the Spirit of God in us. As we live for the glory of God, we need to call out to God for him to be at work. Someone has said a prayerless Christian is like a bus driver trying to push his bus out of a rut because he doesn't know that Clark Kent is on board. I love that. I just picture Clark Kent going, and he's just pushing. It's normally what I'm trying to do. And I normally just ask Nathan to turn up and he pushes it. It's good here. If you don't know Nathan, he's a bit stronger than me, the associate pastor. Friends, God can do more in 5 seconds than we can do in 5 hours of hard work. Go to him. Ask him to be at work. Ask him to lead you. The Bible says, devote yourselves to prayer. Devotion, be committed. Not every so often, but be devoted. Being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Paul says, be devoted. If we're going to do the work of evangelism and mission and help people, then we need to be praying that God will give us open doors for our message. As God gave us open doors at the Riverwood Festival the other day, as God will give us open doors into our Homework Plus Club, as it will give us open doors into the lives of the people in our Creative Craft Ministry, as he will give us open doors into the lives of those who listen to our gospel over 90.1 NBC FM every Sunday afternoon between 3 and 4, that people will listen and they will receive that word. That's what we're praying for, that God will do it. Pray in the Spirit, God says, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be always alert. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Friends, on this 60th anniversary and the opening of our church extensions, can I remind you, it's not about me or you, it's about him. At Ngawi Baptist Church, we are called to live for his glory, to surrender completely, to proclaim unashamedly, to love sacrificially, to live dangerously, and to pray passionately, remembering all the time that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Let me pray. Lord God, it is our prayer today as we have gathered and as we have remembered, as we have looked forward, as we have heard stories and greetings and sung together and prayed together. Lord, it is our desire that we would be a people who are completely and utterly satisfied in you, and that we would give our lives to the cause of the gospel, and that you would be glorified. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.